Hello everyone. Today I want to talk about the subject matter of wheat and tares. This can be found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. It reads, "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But when men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did not you sow good seed in your fields? From whence then come these tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Will you have us go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather it up, the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father God, we thank you for your word, for revelation, for insight. We thank you for truth today. We thank you, Father God, we will not be deceived, but we would be awake, we would be sober and vigilant, knowing the seasons and times we live in Jesus' name. So it's on my heart today to talk about the wheat and the tares because it's very prophetic of the times that we're living in. We are living in the age of deception in the church. Now, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven. Today, we don't really talk about kingdom because our leaders don't really use that terminology. All we understand is church. But all of the parables were parables of the kingdom of heaven. So when I'm speaking of the kingdom, I'm also speaking to the church age that we're living in today. Now, the first thing I want to do is give the interpretation that Jesus gave of his own parable. So he said, he that sowed good seed. The interpretation is the one that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, who is Jesus. The field that the good seed was sown in is the world. The good seed that was sown in the field are the children of the kingdom. The tares that were sown are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed the tares is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are God's angels. Okay, so those they are the interpretation that Jesus gave of his own parable. So I wanted to make that clear as we go through this lesson. First thing I want you guys to see and understand, and the main focus of this message today, is that Satan has his own children and his own seed. Many of us do not understand that. We may talk about, you know, false preachers or false prophets in passing, but we need to have a thorough understanding that God has children and the enemy has children also. God has his seed, his people, and the enemy has his seed and his people. And this is brought out in this parable. Jesus said, the enemy came in and sowed tares. And he said, the enemy is the wicked one or the devil, and the tares is his children. So did you know that the devil has children? Let me prove it to you. John 8:44 reads, Jesus is speaking to the religious community, the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right after the serpent got man, Adam and Eve to fall, this is what it reads. When God was handing out curses, he was speaking to the woman. Listen to what he said. "I will put enmity," which means hatred, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise your heel." Okay, so immediately after the fall, when God was speaking to the serpent and the woman, he gave us some insight into something. He said that the woman would produce seed and the enemy would have seed. So we have to understand that the devil has children. And I'm not talking about you allowing yourself to be used of the enemy. That can happen to anyone. That just shows that we're fallen. We have a sin nature. And at any time, any given time of the day, we can listen to the enemy's hissing and promptings and obey it and reap the consequences from it. I'm not talking about someone just allowing themselves to be used of the enemy. We know Peter allowed himself to be used of the enemy, but he was not the enemy's seed. One day, Peter was listening to the Holy Ghost when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded and said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." That was a good thing. Another day, shortly after that, Jesus was telling his disciples that he would be betrayed, taken by man and crucified. Peter didn't like that. And Peter began to rebuke him and say, "Hey, that would never happen." And Jesus' response was, "Satan, get behind me. You do not savor the things of God, but the things of man." So in one breath, he said Peter allowed himself to hear the Father and he spoke correctly. In another breath, Peter allowed himself to hear the enemy and he spoke incorrectly. That can happen to any of us. That does not mean that we are of the seed of the enemy. Okay. In this text, in these scriptures, he's talking about someone who was produced in and of the enemy and only will do the enemy's bidding. Okay. So we know from this text that the enemy have sown in God's kingdom his own seed. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is because as we are living this life in the kingdom, we need to be soberly minded. We need to walk in God's wisdom and his knowledge and understanding. We supposed to be like the sons of Issachar and understanding the times. We're not supposed to be ignorant concerning the enemy's devices. We are the light in the earth. So darkness does not supposed to deceive us because we are greater than darkness. Okay. So I'm talking about this because we are in an age of deception and it's in the church. Now check this out. The devil knows he couldn't beat the church. So what's the next best thing? He joined the church and his objective is to corrupt it from within. Because he's wise. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. The Bible says the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. That's unfortunate. He's just speaking the truth. The American so-called Christian is very unwise in a lot of areas. We're getting ready to deal with that in a second. But the enemy has his own children. The enemy has his own seed. And they're not just scattered anywhere. They are infiltrated and implanted in the kingdom. Because that's where he can wreak the most havoc. All right. Now that we understand that, we have to recognize that everyone in the kingdom or in the church isn't the genuine article. Didn't Jesus say everyone that say, Lord, Lord, shall not be saved? Because everybody's not real. There are fakes, imposters, moles, wolves in sheep's clothing in just about every church. Therefore, we cannot be surprised when a tare, T-A-R-E, in wheat and tares, when a tare is revealed. Why shouldn't we be surprised? Because Jesus, who is truth, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because when truth was here, he spoke to us, and we have his words written in our Holy Bible. And while truth was here, he revealed some things. And anytime truth is around, he is the greatest lie detector. So when he was here, he didn't leave us in the dark. He didn't leave us at a disadvantage. He did not leave us susceptible to the will and wiles of the enemy, but he shed and shined his light so bright that we should not be deceived about anything we see today, as treacherous, as low down, as wicked as it may be when it's revealed. The saint shouldn't be deceived. The saint shouldn't be surprised, because we have truth. Now let's look at this. A tare looks just like wheat. And I want to add as a footnote to this, this is the nature of a religious spirit. A religious spirit is a false representative of God, of the kingdom, of the church, of the things of God. This is the nature of a religious spirit. It has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. Religion knows how to dress like, talk like, pray like, praise like, dance like, shout like, quote scriptures like, preach and prophesy like, worship and testify like, just like the wheat, just like the saint, just like the born again believer. But they are tares. The spirit of religion is a tare. It's poisonous. Tares look like the wheat, but if you consume it, it's poisonous and can potentially kill you. You can look that up for yourself. It's a known fact because it represents and is a type of today's false prophets, false teachers, who are the seed of the enemy, his children, that have been strategically planted in the kingdom. In my church, in your church, in ministries around the world, for the specific reason of deceiving, poisoning, and destroying the saint. We are in an age of deception. The best liars, deceivers, frauds, phonies, schemers, charlatans, imposters, masqueraders and tricksters, swindlers and racketeers, villains and con artists, Grifters, shysters, impersonators, pretenders are in the kingdom because they've been sold there by the devil. Now let's look at the word hypocrite. Many of you may know this, but I need to interject it again. A hypocrite is a person who puts on a fake appearance of virtue. It comes from the Greek or Greek word that means actor on a stage, to play a part on the stage. The church in America is full of hypocrites and actors on the stage, in pulpits, receiving Academy Award performances on a weekly basis because God's people are not awake, are not alert, and not walking in the light of truth. Now, you may not know this, but Christians are rumored worldwide to be gullible, simpletons, too forgiving, ignorant, naive, unsuspecting, overtrusting, credulous, easily taken, dupable, or easy prey. That is our reputation worldwide. And this is why the liberals in America have pretty much tried to take over everything in every major city that you can think of, where the crime is high and unemployment is low, and government scandals are daily. It's usually liberal ran. What am I trying to say? Because the city, the citizens are full of Christians, but we're gullible, too forgiving, naive, and ignorant. That's unfortunate. But since the enemy have infiltrated the kingdom with millions of his own children that have that spirit of religion, let me break down this religious spirit a little bit more. Religion has a murderous spirit. Religion has murdered more people than any other category in the world. It's murderous. Religion is hateful and mean and uncompromising and judgmental and arrogant and proud and intolerant. Religion is prejudiced and racist and legalistic. And that's what the enemy infiltrates the church with. These type of people, his own children, his own seed. And this is the spirit that they have. Now watch this. There are more homosexuals and lesbians in pulpits today than you can count. I promise you that. Now, with that being said, I have to say that they are gifted. They are talented. They are articulate. They can pontificate. They're very gregarious. They're very likable, charismatic, charming. But they wouldn't know God if he dropkicked them. This is why Jesus told us to know them by their fruit. What I like to do when I come across a powerful statement like that to help us better understand what he was trying to say is to look at what he didn't say. He didn't say to know them by their gift, to know them by how many people follow them, to know them by how many friends they have on Facebook, to know them by how they dress, to know them by their denomination. See, he didn't say that. He didn't say know them by how good they preach or prophesy or sing or dance. Know them by those things. No, he said, just look at their fruit. Don't be deceived with the smoke screen of how many followers they have. Don't be deceived by the smoke screen of how big the building is. Don't be deceived by the smoke screen who are their friends and what big names and personalities and famous people that they run with. Don't be deceived by the smoke screen of how big their television and radio audience is. Jesus said, look past all that stuff and just look at their fruit. Don't look at what they say. Look at what they do. And which reminds me of the word integrity. Because what we don't find today is a lot of people who has integrity. Now, Dr. Miles Monroe broke this word down some years ago, and I never forgot it. He said integrity, the word integrate comes from integrity. And when you have integrity, that means that you are able to integrate what you say with what you do. And so how do you know if your leader has integrity? Because you can look at what he say and what he does, and it matches. When what your leader says is the opposite of what he does not have integrity. He never integrated the two. So you can best believe that the devil's children are gifted. They're some of the most gifted people you'll ever meet. I'm going to tell you something. They can prophesy you under a table and be accurate. They can preach to there's no tomorrow and have you running through the church screaming and hollering, throwing Bibles at each other. They can sing you to you weeping on your knees. But they will sleep with your husband or your wife or your children in a heartbeat. What am I trying to say? If you are following gifts and people's talents, you are already deceived. Jesus said, know them by their fruit, not by their gifts. Because people can tell you anything. Do you realize there's some people walking the earth that's so good at what they do, they can sell dirt to a cemetery. Well, it's the truth anyhow. Let's look at this. You can find the enemy's children in leadership. They're not just going to be sitting in the pulpit wasting their time. They're not just going to be greeting at the door of the church wasting their time. When he plants his children in the kingdom, they will be in leadership. Said another way, he has warlocks faking as apostles. The devil has wizards faking as prophets. He has witches, and hear me well on this one. He has more witches faking as pastors in American churches than you can shake a stick at. He has soothsayers mimicking bishops today. And the saints are ignorant to it all. When I was just my last stint in Hawaii, I'm a part of a fellowship of pastors, and I'm the only non-Filipino in the group. It's about 22 Filipino pastors. And each month we have a meeting, we get together and they cook and sit down and go over whatever they have planned. So while we're sitting there, I'm seeing witches in their churches. I mean, as clear as day. And so when I'm sitting with these guys and I'm listening to their conversation, and they sitting there saying, oh yeah, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, you know, they've been coming to church and they've been faithful. And, you know, I'm thinking about promoting them. And I'm looking at these guys and I'm looking them in their face. And I say, dude, you don't know that's a witch? You don't know she's a Wicca? You don't see the enemy infiltrating your ranks, man? See, there's something wrong when those of us who represents truth can't see the lie standing in front of us. There's something wrong when we're supposed to be filled with the spirit of truth, but liars and deceivers and imposters are all around us and we don't know it. There's something wrong. And I said this to their faces, about 10 of us sitting at a table, and he was talking about a particular person that I knew wasn't right. And I'm like, man, look, y'all got to do better than this. I'm like, you can't go off how nice they are. Yeah, we want nice people in the church. Yeah, we want personable people in the church, man. But see, this is why everybody is not called to leadership. As a side note, when you go to the Old Testament and it gives the list, I forget if it's in Leviticus or Deuteronomy, it gives the list of the prerequisites that the tribe of Levi would have for anyone that would serve in the temple, because only the tribe of Levi could be priest. Priests came exclusively from the tribe of Levi. And so it gave prerequisites. Just because you was from Levi didn't mean that you automatically could serve in God's house. So God gave a list through Moses of the prerequisites for leadership. And so that meant things like you couldn't have physical impairments or things of that nature. One of them, to make a long story short, one of the prerequisites was a Levi man could not have a flat nose. So you say, what does having a flat nose have to do with being able as a Levi to serve in the temple? Well, because what was given in the natural had spiritual significance for today. And so in other words, you can't throw your Old Testament away. Those of us that have the spirit of truth, we can properly apply Old Testament principles and laws and statutes for New Testament principles today. And so this means that just because you want to be a pastor don't mean you should be a pastor. And the prerequisite, if we take those prerequisites and we apply them for today, having that flat nose means something. Now, nose is the place where you breathe air in and out. That's how we maintain life, by breathing, inhaling and exhaling the oxygen that's in the air. Okay. And we know that air or wind or breath represents the spirit, and God breathed into man his breath, which meant that Adam was filled with the Holy Ghost at that time. And this is why when he fell, we lost the spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the same breath that was breathing to Adam came back as a sound of a rushing mighty wind, because wind and air represents the spirit of God. And so when we look at the prerequisite and it says that a Levi couldn't serve in the temple if he had a flat nose, that meant that his breathing, his inhaling and exhaling of air, was not perfect. It was distorted. It had problems there. And so that represents a man or woman of God today who may want to be in leadership. All right. But if they have a flat nose or a problem, issues, blockages, and discerning spirit, you with me? And so what I was dealing with in Hawaii with the leaders is they did not have mature discernment of spirits, because air or wind represents the spirit of something. OK, this is why when you're watching a horror movie and a man or woman is standing in a room, and then out of nowhere, this gust of air blows right past them, that represents an evil spirit just showed up. Okay, its presence was there. And so if we have a flat nose, in leadership, and we have problems and blockages of inhaling and exhaling, that means that we don't have discernment. The nose represents where we breathe air, and we're not properly discerning. We're not properly smelling. And so anyone that has the discernment of spirits, the way that the discernment of spirit works is you smell something no one else smell. See, when I smell the spirit of homosexuality, nobody else can smell it. That God haven't revealed that to. It has a distinctive smell. The presence of God, if he ever allowed you to smell his presence, it has a distinctive, beautiful aroma. If God ever allowed you to smell the presence of angels, it has a distinctive, beautiful aroma. Different demon spirits have a distinctive, horrid smell. Odor. It's cantankerous. It's loud. It's offensive. So a flat nose means that you can't properly smell or discern spirits. That was free. Okay. Next thing I want to say is Satan is a narcissist. He loves to be seen and heard. Okay. He has to be seen and heard. So he's not playing the back drop too often when he plant his children in the kingdom. The most effective ones, now he has some that's hidden, but the most effective ones, they're narcissists, because their father, the devil, is a narcissist. So where I'm going with this is this. His children are the ones on TV. Now, I'm not saying everybody who's supposed to be a Christian and on TV is of the devil, but I am saying most of them are. Yeah, I said it. They are on the airways. Now, I'm going to take my time with this one because I need you to really understand this. His children, the tares that he has sown in the kingdom, are the ones who are on the airways and have the most popular programs and have the largest following. Now, let me prove it to you. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I need that to set in. And this is an area where our leaders have not taught us properly. Jesus is called the prince of many things, but he is not the prince of the power of the air. See, I'm a stickler for what the Bible say, not what the bishop said, not what my denomination said. I'm a stickler for what the word of God says. And I'm going to stand on the word and let every man be a liar. The Bible says that Jesus is the prince of peace. Never say he's the prince of the power of the air. Certain titles God have given the enemy, and he have never changed them. The devil is called the God of this world. So if he is the God of this world, we are not. That was given to him. In other words, he's going to run the world. The world system, the fallen world system, that's his domain. This is why Jesus said we are in the world and not of the world. This is why Jesus said my kingdom is not of this world. Why? Because this world, the system that it runs, that's the enemy's. I'm here to infiltrate it, but I'm not the God of it. Now, I didn't say the God of the earth, because some of you are going somewhere else already. God is the God of the earth. He created the earth. The world, when the Bible is talking about the world, it's talking about a system, a systematic arrangement of things, cosmetology. Okay. Anyway, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And since he's the prince of the air, guess who controls the airwaves? Now, you may have some kingdom people on air, but if you look at the totality of what is on the airwaves, whether it's radio, FM, AM, or television, it is completely ran and owned and operated by the world. The handful of kingdom people that's on there don't even come close to touching the godless, worldly craziness that's on the air. That's my point. Why? Because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And guess who he is going to make sure that has the most coverage from the kingdom? Now, remember, he sold his tares in the kingdom. He already owned the world. He sold his tares in the field of the kingdom. His children, he have infiltrated in the kingdom of heaven. And since he is the prince of the power of the air, he take his children, his imposters, his tares that he have implanted in the kingdom, and he put them on his airwaves. That's what I'm trying to say. And we can know who they are because this is what they're doing. They are begging and scheming on the air, plotting, coming with gimmicks and con jobs. They're selling oil and water and wine and parts of clothes and Bibles. They got prophetic hotlines and pay for a profit and buy your blessing and finance your future, pay off your past. This is how you know who his children is with these huge followings on the air. It's Satan's seed. They're the most famous, well-known personalities on the airwaves, because their father is the prince of the power of the air. That's his domain. He's the God of that world. Those are his signals, his stations, his signature. Now let's look at the rest of the parable. Jesus said he's going to allow them to grow together, the wheat and the tares. When the servant came and said, hey, there's tares in the field. And he said, yeah, while you slept, he planted them. At another time, I'll deal with that part when he said, while you slept, or while everybody was sleeping, the enemy came in and sold tares. Because the American church is asleep. The American church is asleep. And because we're asleep, what are we sleeping doing? We're sleeping having church. See? I ain't got time to break that down. Y'all gonna get tired of me. We asleep at the wheel praising. See? We're asleep entertaining ourselves. We're asleep saying amen to nothing. We're asleep in the four walls of the church doing nothing, having a good old time with a rich man, faring sumptuously. We asleep, and all the blessings God gave us and all the riches of the kingdom, and we just laid back and we're comfortable. There's an Old Testament passage that says, woe unto those who are at ease in Zion. We're asleep right at the wheel. The church is a sleeping giant. And while we sleep in heaven church, the enemy came in and sold tares. Now, I know I said I wasn't going to break down sleep, which I really haven't, but I had to qualify that. Praise the Lord. So he said, while you was asleep, the enemy came in and did that. But don't go. Now, hear me. This is important for today. Because if you go on Facebook and you go on social media, when certain leaders find out and it is revealed that some of the people they was hanging with and some of the folk they was in covenant with are really tares, it tear at their heart, and now they retaliate. So a preacher, somebody sent me a link of this guy, forget what state he was in, but he found out that one of his homies, I guess, was homosexual, and they fell out, and he was sending his little homosexual friends to try to intimidate him. And so the bishop on there, and he's calling the guy out. He's cursing And he letting the guy know, you know, I understand where he's coming from, because his manhood, his ego was insulted. So he's calling him all kind of names and was like, yeah, I ain't had you come for me. I'm getting ready to expose you. But that ain't what the Bible say do. Okay. If the guy was a member of his church, yeah, there's a way that you handle it there with witnesses. And then you bring them before the church and you can get rid of them. But you're talking about another leader who got his own thing. You leave him be. See, why? Because Jesus said, when the servant came and said, should we uproot? Should we expose? Should we call them out? He said, no, let them grow together. This is the purpose of this message. Don't be surprised when the tares are revealed. See, don't be surprised when the imposters are revealed. Sit back and smile and say, I knew the word. You can't get one up on me because I read my Bible. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Continue in his word. Become his disciple. Then you'll know the truth and you'll never be deceived. God said, no, let them grow together. What am I trying to say? Sitting right next to you in church is a tear. Preaching in church is a tear. Directing the choir in church is a tear. See, your guest speaker may be a tear. The next worship leader may be a tear. The next great apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, evangelist, bishop, elder, whatever, may be a tear. Don't be surprised. The church has been infiltrated with tares. Be not deceived. Call it what it is. Move on. Because God said, don't uproot them. I know what they're doing. I'm going to use my angels to separate them at the end of the world. In other words, first of all, I know who they are. Secondly, don't be deceived. Thirdly, that day is coming. Do you hear me? Their day is coming. But you got to be sober minded, vigilant, and know the word for yourself. Now, as I end, Jesus said, by this you would know that they are my disciples. The love they have for one another. Look at what he didn't say. He didn't say, by this you would know they are my disciples, because they'll be on TV asking for your money. They'll be riding around in luxurious cars and have a lot of armor bearers following them. And how good they preach, how good they prophesy, how emotional they make you when they sing. That ain't what he said. That's not love. Love doesn't take advantage of people, doesn't deceive or manipulate, a con, a trick, or scorn, or scheme, or abuse, or play games with people. Love is a very powerful thing, and it should be easily recognized. The church has an abusive relationship going on right now between the pastors, who are tares, who are imposters, and the sheepfold. I call it spiritual domestic violence. We seeing it play out on a daily basis because the pastors are pimping, beating, cheating on, and taking advantage and abusing the sheep. It's time that we wake up, because tares are everywhere. Know the difference, know the word, and be led by the Spirit of God. I'm out.